Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Budweiser's weekday sports beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Wesley, off-balance shot, no good. Atkinson, put back, it's good. That's it. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Notre Dame in double overtime.
Here's your host, Darren Pritchett.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, baby.
Well, that's from a couple of years ago in Dayton, that classic double overtime victory for the Fighting Irish under then head coach Mike Bray. Micah Shrewsbury just completed his first season as head coach of the Fighting Irish, and they came a long way from the team we saw in December. I'm Darren Pritchett. Sports Beat continues at 5:32 here on WSBT Radio, and I'm thrilled to have back on the program Hall of Fame retired coach Mike Lightfoot, who spent so many years winning championships at Bethel College. And now I follow him on social media. He's going from state to state, busy as ever, talking about the great game of basketball. And I'm thrilled to have him on the program to talk a little March Madness here on WSBT Radio. Coach Lightfoot, how are you? I would imagine great. This is your time of the year.
This is March Madness, March Sadness, and everything in between. Because, you know, as of today, I think we have 62 coaching staffs that have been released, you know, so that's always a tough time that many people don't realize. Maybe your listeners don't realize when a head coach gets released, the staff gets released. And so, you know, that might be four or five staff members that are, and many of them are very young. They have young families, and now they have to totally relocate, and who knows where, because a lot of them are right now just kind of wondering where they're going to end up or if they're going to find a job. So that's why I say it's March Madness and March Sadness, because a little bit of both goes on. But yeah, what some incredible games we just saw this week.
Well, you talk about coaching changes. Your son Ryan has moved on to Coastal Carolina as he is now an associate head coach after a really good season at Western Carolina. He takes a jump up the coaching chain, coach, and I think you and your family have to be so excited what's in front of him at Coastal Carolina, a place I'd like to be recruited to. I mean, Myrtle Beach, sign me up, coach. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we're always excited. You know, he was at Grand Canyon, and then he was up in the Smoky Mountains, and now Coastal Carolina. These are great places not only to recruit, but also go visit him. So him and his wife, we're excited about that opportunity that, you know, they're in the portal recruiting like crazy right now. I know he was in four states over the weekend just trying to, you know, put together a team and work with that. But yeah, we're really excited. He could be somewhere in North Dakota. And so we're happy that he's in Myrtle Beach.
Coach, I know there were times that you would have had the opportunity to leave Bethel College for maybe even a Division I job. And back then, I don't mean it like it was 20 years ago, but there was no NIL, there was no transfer portal. Can you imagine, Coach, now as a head coach, thinking about being a D1 coach and all the things you have to deal with nowadays? In fact, I think that's probably a big reason why some big-name coaches have given up the coaching whistle earlier than we all expected.
Yeah, that's really changed the game tremendously. And I don't even know if people can even comprehend the wild, wild west of Division I basketball and football, because, you know, kids can leave and put their name in the portal. You know what, there's 1,300 kids already in the portal, and they're just scrambling around looking for a job. If they don't like where they're at or they see another opportunity with more NIL money, they're going to go. So you no longer can develop a relationship with someone over 3, 4, or 5 years like coaches have done in the past. That's just not happening. You can work with a great kid that's in the mid-major and develop them and get him ready, and then, you know, next year he's going to be gone to some Power 5 school. And that's just the way it is. And now also with the portal, a lot of people don't realize that high school kids aren't being recruited to D1 schools as much, because coaches are saying, wait a minute, if I'm going to recruit somebody, why not get somebody that's 22 years old that has played for 2 or 3 years rather than, you know, find a young high school player, and if he comes really good, he won't keep him anyway. So it's becoming really a carousel of stuff going on in D1 basketball.
Hall of Fame coach Mike Lightfoot, my guest on WSBT Radio. You called some early season Notre Dame basketball games. The Irish, I think we all remember losing at home by 20 points to the Citadel in the post game. Head coach Micah Shrewsbury was very hard on his team and talked about helping people go to the transfer portal if they were not going to show more effort. Hey, Mike Bray would always say, I love my guys. Micah does it a little differently. There's no right or wrong way to handle the media. Micah used the media, I think, to get a message across to his team. How much progress do you believe Micah made with this program from where they were in December to ending the year with, I think, what many people would say, surprisingly, 7 ACC conference wins?
Night and day. You know, we saw them early against Citadel, and Ryan's team from Western Carolina came up and also beat the Irish. And, you know, it was a process. And he told people that, you know, stay with us, hang in there with us. Micah kept saying, you know, this team's going to get better. They're going to get tougher. And as you could see throughout the year, the offensive end of the floor started to improve while the defensive end continued to get better. And he really set the standards of, we're going to work hard. We're going to be a lunch pail type of a team, blue collar mentality. And the players have bought in. So credit to Micah and his staff. They worked extremely hard behind the scenes, on film, watching, trying to get the most out of the players that they could. And I think they maximized pretty much everything they could get out of this year's team. So, you know, hat off to Coach Micah Shrewsbury. He's done an amazing job, and good things are going to happen for the Irish in the future.
As a media member and as a fan, I think Marcus Burton was much better than I even anticipated. You're a coach. You understand how the game is played. Was he just the way you thought he would be? Did he even exceed your expectations?
He exceeded my expectations. And when I see him before practice or after practice, that's the thing that just sticks with me. Marcus, he has done an amazing job of developing his game. I just didn't see the mental toughness that he has inside of him. Even at Penn High School, I saw him as a great scorer of the game. I didn't know how he's going to be able to defend, especially with his size. Yeah. But inside that young man is a tiger that hates to lose, loves to compete, and he has got a special gift, a body control, and being able to get to the rim or step back and knock in a three. And you could just see as he developed his game along the season, so did the Irish.
Coach, as you sit from the outside looking into this program and knowing Micah Shrewsbury is right now hunting in the transfer portal, is there a type of player or players that could be added to this roster that would enhance what Marcus Burton started this year with this offense? I mean, a lot was on his shoulders throughout this campaign.
Well, I think his son really helped
yes.
in that process. I think that we saw him emerge as a prolific three-point shooter. That took the pressure off Burton a lot. And you can see the confidence that he developed as the season went along. I think that they're going to need some help with the bigs. They need to continue to recruit and find a couple frontline players that are going to help this young freshman core continue to develop. So I would say that they're looking in that portal to find the right kind of kid that's going to be mentally tough, but it's going to be able to help them on the glass and be another person that they can have in that five-man rotation that's going to be a big five-man. So I think that's probably something that the staff is looking for, to find that right person that can come in and help the Irish. But they do have a great, great crew of young players that are going to continue to get better.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Mike Lightfoot joining me here on WSBT Radio. Let's go to West Lafayette for a moment. The Purdue Boilermakers got through the first weekend. They're in the Sweet 16. They dominated what was a really good Utah State team. They made them look like just a team that barely got into the tournament. They're actually really, really good, and Purdue dominated them. And it's been interesting the last couple of years, Coach. I think teams have tried everything to at least try to slow down the seven-footer Zach Edey. You see double and triple teams. Another example, when Purdue went to Illinois, Brad Underwood in the first half just let Edey go one-on-one against Coleman Hawkins, and he put up 20 points in the first half, but he wanted to take away the other parts because Purdue's number two in the country in three-point shooting behind Kentucky. So it's almost you take one thing away, something else is going to hurt you with this Purdue team. If you're Mark Few and Gonzaga, how in the world do you try to at least slow down Zach Edey and this Boilermaker offense that looks so good over the weekend?
I think there is a way. I don't know if it can be done, but I think the best way to stop Edey is Edey stop himself by getting in foul trouble. Mm. And I think there's got to be a focus on that as we get to the Sweet 16. If I was Coach Mark Few, I would say, hey, let's go to the rim. Not just the big, anybody. Get to the rim and force Zach Edey to come over and block it, which he does a lot, but I would continue to attack that rim. And that's the only way I think you can defeat him, is have him sitting on the bench in foul trouble. And Purdue's not the same team. They continue to play well, but they're not the same defensive team without Big Zach Edey in there as a rim protector. They have some deficiencies on the perimeter defensively against quick guards. So if you could get him in foul trouble, now you have a good chance of upsetting Purdue.
I've thought all year, Coach, they're a different team from last year from two standpoints. Number one, Braden Smith has become a more all-around point guard. And number two, adding the kid from SIU Carbondale, Lance Jones. I think he's added a little grit to this team besides his great outside shooting and really good defense. They just feel like a different team this year. Do you agree?
Yeah, they are. You know, if you go back and look at them last year, and those freshman guards, the both of them, really struggled turning the ball over quite a bit. I think they were typically freshmen that just wore out mentally and physically as the season went along. And I think once they got to the Big Ten tournament championship, once that happened, then they really didn't have much in the tank. This year, they are a much better team. They have more depth. They're athletic. They've improved in a lot of areas in that area, but you know, the best thing about a freshman is he becomes a sophomore, and that's exactly what's happened with Purdue's backcourt.
Coach, I'm just curious, from someone who spent so many years on the sideline dealing with game management, game in and game out as a head coach, Matt Painter has allowed an assistant coach to call all the offensive plays. You see the assistant coach, he's up on the sideline with a dry erase board calling the plays, and Matt is letting him take care of the offense, which is a big take on when you consider all the different ways that teams are trying to defend Zach Edey, and you have to have answers for those defenses. Matt wants to focus more on game management. How hard is it as a head coach, knowing you have such an awesome team, to let go of the reins and let someone take care of that, and Matt's now focused more on handling game management, game in and game out?
You know, when I go down to practices at Purdue, and I'll say to PJ, I say, now, how does he communicate? How does Matt Painter communicate what he wants done? And then you put it on that little whiteboard. And he said, he does it. I said, well, wait a minute. Who tells him what plays that you need to run? He goes, he doesn't. And Sasha also, just his first year, said, hey, Coach, and he turned to me and said, Coach, I call all the out-of-bounds plays. I said, you do? And that's exactly Matt Painter delegates. And, you know, it's amazing to me. I mean, I think it's absolutely amazing that he turns over that and complete offense. Now, I will say this. They talk and communicate a lot in the film room, preparing for what sets Purdue for every game they play. they pick 20 of their sets that they feel are best suited for their opponent they play. And so they will go over those 20 sets. Maybe I'm telling a secret. I better be careful. But they pick 20 sets that they feel that will work really well against the opponent they have. And so they work together as a staff to make sure that everybody knows exactly what sets they feel are best suited for the team that they play. So one team, they may not have the same sets. They might have different wrinkles. So that's pretty amazing, though, Darren, when you see a delegation of such an important part of an offense. He almost runs it like a football program where you have a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. And I'm seeing more and more of that in college basketball, where you're trying to find one guy that's going to focus in on the defense, one guy focus on the offense, one guy focus on the bigs, one guy focus on the guards, and then the head coach manages the whole game.
Wow. I'm fairly confident Mark Few is not going to be listening to the podcast of this particular show. So I think we're safe, at least for the game coming up on Friday.
I think Mark's probably got other things to think about in the next few days. But I just find that fascinating as I go and watch everybody practice when they just delegate and just pick 20 sets that they're going to run. And that takes a special kid.
Yeah.
And when they ask why Purdue recruits certain kids, they have to have an extremely high basketball IQ. And because of that, they can run a lot of different wrinkles and sets that keep their opponents off balance.
Coach, I think for many years, once the three-point shot came to the college game, it allowed the little guy to have a chance against the big guy in the NCAA tournament. The three-point shot neutralized the game. If you had a little school that got hot from the three-point line, like Oakland, they can knock off a Kentucky. But I'm looking at what happened Saturday and Sunday. 15 of the 16 favorites won their games. And now we have what I believe is going to be an electric Sweet 16, because you have all the big boys in, all the ones and twos made it. There's only one double-digit seed. I think we love Cinderella, but only so much. I thought the Final Four lacked a little pizzazz last year when you had some of the quote-unquote smaller guys making the Final Four. I'm wondering, with NIL, with the transfer portal, is that going to take away, in your opinion, some of the Cinderella stories? Is what we saw this weekend, do you feel like that could become more the norm?
Yes, it is going to be the norm, because all the power schools now can, on graduation, when they lose a great player, they can replace him with an older veteran from somewhere in the portal. And so, Darren, you hit it right on the nail. That's exactly what's happening. You just strengthen your team by adding just another guy after graduation. So it's not like we got to bring in young people and regroup and rebuild. It's just reload. And most of those people are taken from where? The mid-majors. So those mid-majors no longer have those standout players. You know, there's going to be one or two of those happen every year because there's just so many great kids out there. But now when you get into the Sweet 16, you see it's really narrowed down, and these teams have got a lot of talent that's going to be really interesting here next weekend.
One final question for you, Coach. Just a quick thought. Grace, I believe, aren't they in the Final Four in the NAIA basketball tournament? They play in just a little bit?
Yes, they do. And they, for those that have not been able to see Grace, they're one of the best NAIA schools in the country. I think it'll take someone pretty special in this Final Four to beat them. They're big, they're strong, athletic. They have a lot of local talent, and hats off to Coach Moore and the Grace Lancers, because they could be bringing home another banner here to Northern Indiana at the NAIA level.
How about that? Good luck to them as they take on Freed Hardman, a school that I've never heard of. But they're going down tonight, Coach. Grace is going to take care of them. We're pulling for Grace to get it done tonight. And, Coach, always a pleasure to talk to you. Always appreciate your knowledge and information. And hopefully we can catch up again sometime very, very soon. A fun time of the year, no doubt about it, with high school, college. Can't get any better than this.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to heading down to the Final Four and in Phoenix. And give me a call. We can talk about the Final Four when we get settled down there.
Sounds like a plan, Coach. Thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Okay, Darren.
Thank you so much. Hall of Fame coach from Bethel College, Mike Lightfoot, joining me on WSBT Radio. And that was fascinating, hearing some insight on that Boilermaker coaching staff and what they like to do, the delegation. As he was describing how Matt Painter hands out assignments, it did sound like a football team. When you have an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, a quarterback coach, they kind of have an offensive coordinator and they have someone to call the inbound plays. That's really, really interesting. And to hear Coach Lightfoot say that's becoming more the norm, that's something that I think we as fans maybe don't get a chance to go behind the curtain that much to see that. So really interesting tidbits there from the Hall of Famer, Mike Lightfoot. It's 5:52. We'll have more Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat coming up in a moment on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.